The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Here's what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there's neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. The Bible says, where the thieves do not break through and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible talks about where to lay up the treasure. And so because of that, I want to talk tonight about treasure giving. You know, there are several things that we have to consider tonight when it comes to laying up treasure. We have to understand some things tonight. There's a threefold way to be successful, I do believe, in God's eyes. And number one would be, of course, we seek Him first. And by that, I mean that God has certain things that He wants you to do by obeying Him, by surrendering to His call. And whatever that is in your life, then that needs to be first in your life, whatever that is. Now, it may be that God has called you to be a missionary. Well, that needs to be first priority in your life. It may be God's called you to be a preacher, a pastor, etc., and on so. It may be that God, or you listen to me, has called you to be able to do something special for Him. Now, may I say, listen to me, sometimes we look at only those that's called in the ministry, and I've made this kind of clear past couple weeks. Sometimes we think that those that are in the ministry are on a different level or in a different loft, if you will please, a different shelf than those that are not. That is not true. There is a partnership to be able to complete the ministry of God. If it was not for outstanding businessmen in our church and business ladies in our church that would do what they're doing sacrificially, the buses would not run, the tracks would not go out, the missionaries would not be supported. I don't want you ever to sell yourself short and putting yourself as, well, I'm not important, and that's not true at all. That is not true at all. When I listened to Brother Anderson's testimony last Sunday, and here was a man that in his lifetime had given away $35 million, 1 year, $11 million, and then seeing almost 20,000 people, or 20 million, right? 20 million people come to know Christ as Savior. Well, that's a really neat thing, I think. Okay, and that was a businessman, never called to preach, never called to go out and do something full time for the Lord per se, but has used that which is brought into his possessions for God's honor and for God's glory. Now, may I say, so that first calling in God's sight in order to be successful is simply to please Him. What does He have for you in your life? Is it something that God has for you in your life in the ministry? Is it something that God has for you in your life in the business world? Now, God wants us all to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful to His word. He wants us to be faithful to His church. He wants us to be faithful in the endeavoring of getting out the gospel. He wants us to be faithful in our separated living. He wants us to be faithful in fulfilling that which is the truths that God shows us individually in our lives. Now, He wants us to be faithful. Success is not based on what I want to do, but rather success is based on God's will for my life and the fulfillment thereof. Luke chapter 12. And in verse 15, the Bible says, for a man's life, it says, consisteth not of the abundance of things which passeth away. Now, the world would say, in order to be successful, you have to have the abundance of things, okay? You're more successful if you own more houses. You are more successful if you own nicer cars. You are more successful if you live in a nice neighborhood. You are more successful by the dollar amount that it cost you to purchase the suit. You are more successful if you have a high scholastical ability when it comes to the educational realm. You are more successful if you're able to complete the task that the business world sets up as the final and ultimate criteria of being successful. But that is not the way that God views success. The way God views success is being completely surrendered and obedient to the fulfillment of His will for your life. That is success. Now, you cannot compare yourself to someone else, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get extremely discouraged. you will. I don't care what realm it is that you're living in your Christian life. If you get into that area of comparing yourself to somebody else, you're going to get discouraged. No two preachers preach alike. No two guys tell a joke the same way. No two people give counsel on the same tier. No two people have the same, if you would please, passion about soul winning, or passion about fulfillment of a business endeavor, or a passion, if you would please, for their individual family, or even the desire to rear their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And see, the problem with all that is this: when you start comparing yourself to somebody else, depending on where you are that particular second in life, you're either going to feel pretty good about yourself, or you're going to feel pretty bad about yourself. So you can't compare yourself, "Well, I wish my marriage was like so-and-so." Don't. Because while you're looking at their marriage right now, it may not be all that you think it is. "Well, you know, I wish that I could rear children like so-and-so." Don't. You see them at church, but you don't see how they are at home. "Well, you know, I just wish that my prayer life was like so-and-so." Don't. Here's what we need to do. We need to dig in deep, find out what God would have for us, and fulfill the will of God. And so by doing, you become successful in the eyes of God. And if you're successful in the eyes of God, may I say this? What else matters? What else matters? If you're pleasing God, what else matters? If you're fulfilling God's will, what else matters? Come on, are we running the bus to get big numbers simply because of the fact that we want somebody to pat us on the back? Are we running to be able to go out to see that one boy, that one girl, that one teenager, that one adult come, and can you rejoice in the low day as much as the high day? Now run like you've never run before. If you're going to serve God, give it your energy. Don't get out there and serve, if you would please, your team on a basketball court or a soccer team or something like that with more vigor and more energy and more fortitude than you do when serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to give all, then give all. When it comes time to go soul winning, give all. When it comes time to come to church, don't drag in, don't push in, don't pull in, but get excited and get in. When it comes to getting in preaching, don't just sit there and lap it up, hoping to get something. Look for everything. By the way, church is what you make it long before you come in the front door. "Well, I came to church preacher and I didn't get anything out of it," because you weren't looking too hard. If you come looking for something good, you'll find it. If you come looking for something negative, you'll find it. There are some people who come to church and they say, "I can't believe it, I saw a spot on the floor." Somebody else comes to church, they don't see the spot on the floor. Now everybody's looking for a spot. But some people come to church and they look for the light that's almost out. Others come to church and they see only the lights it's on. Some people come to church and they say, "Wow, that was a great song by the Smell Family. That was a great song by Brother Palmore." Other people come to church and say, "Well, I tell you what, they would have did better if Brother Smell would have sang." Other people know better because we have more wisdom. I'm saying tonight that the will of God, find the will of God, fulfill the will of God. That's what it is. And coming to a building or remodeling program, find the will of God, fulfill the will of God. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Dig in deep. Let that relationship rise above the norm. You walk by faith and you trust God, and let God be the one that directs you and what you can do, and God will. I'm saying how to be successful. We be successful by putting God first in our life. We be successful not by being that which is accountable by the things of the world, but by being accountable to a holy God and fulfilling that will for our life. We be successful by not being somebody that is self-sufficient, but be reliant on God. Not self-sufficient. Now, let me give you some things to give, if I may, tonight when talking about treasure giving. Statement number one, we should have a pattern in our giving. We should have a pattern in our giving. Now, what should be our pattern? Notice back in your scriptures, look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Bible says, "But seek ye first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, but first, By the way, when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added on to you. Seek him first in the morning. Seek him first in your decision making. Seek him first in getting wisdom. Seek him first in your child rearing. Seek him first in your marriage. Seek him first, if you would please, in every endeavor in life. Seek him first. The person that seeks him first and the way they dress will always be well pleasing to him if they know the book. Seek him first. Seek him first in the things that you do with the things that you endeavor to do and pleasing him in your life. All right, so what do we do by that? You want to understand that God has a certain plan for you to give. Now, what is that? That is simply seeking him first. Notice in your scriptures, notice if you will, back in the book of Matthew again, chapter 6, look at verse 25. It says, take no thought of your life. It says, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor it says, yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? He said, you know, we take consideration of all these things, but there is more to life than that. He says, behold, the fowls of the air. Then in verse 27, he says, you can't add one cubit onto your stature. And then verse 28, he says, consider the lilies of the field. In verse 30, he says, clothe the grass of the field. That's what he did. He says, shall I not much more clothe you? He says, therefore, in verse 31, he says, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat or what shall ye drink or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? He said, those things, he said, I can take care of you. If I took care of that which is the lilies in the field, and I took care of the fowls in the air, and I took care of the raiment, and I took care, if you would please, of all those things that I told you about, certainly I'm just telling you that I can take care of you. And I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient, and God is not dead, and God is alive, and God can take care of you. Statement number one, we should pattern our giving. Statement number two, we should place our giving. Place our giving. It ought to be healthy giving. Look at it, if you would please, in verse 20 and verse 21. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. All right? He says, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so I need to place my giving. Place my giving. I decide where I'm going to give to. Some people give to parachurch organizations. Some people give to those which are society gatherings. Some people give to different type of clubs and different type of events that is out there that is prevalent and very heavily trying to get people to give to those different types of institutions. But God says this. God says that there is a healthy place to give. Now, in that healthy place to give, you understand tonight that it ought to match up with heaven. Now, God says this. He said there's rejoicing in the presence. Didn't say the angels rejoice, but he said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. So when somebody gets saved, God says that there is in the presence of the angels those that are rejoicing because they identify with that person that got saved. The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, that it well pleased the Father. So when somebody gets saved, we understand that there's joy in heaven. When somebody gets baptized, we understand there is a pleasing attitude type from God that is in heaven. And who are we supposed to please anyway? So if you just spent your entire life going out soul winning, your entire life following people up for baptism, you brought enough joy in heaven for those to rejoice in the presence of God's angels. So if I was going to put my money somewhere, I'd put it someplace that's getting that done, at least. At least. I'd put my money in a place where somebody cares enough about somebody else to give out a gospel tract. I don't know how many people has come to our church because one of our little ones has given out a gospel tract. I remember Chris. Chris, would you stand for just a moment? I remember Chris being invited to our church by one of our teenagers and was given a tract. Chris came to church. Was you saved before you came here? You got saved after you came here. You were saved before you came here. And then he came to our church, got involved, became faithful. Now he's going out soul winning. Now he's driving a bus. Now wait a minute. That's all because one of our teenagers gave him an invitation by way of a gospel tract to church. Thank you. Be seated. Now, that's just one example. You say, well, I tell you what, it doesn't work. If it just worked that one time in somebody's life, it's worth it. Now, I'm saying this, hey, but somebody had to pay for the track. What's where your tithes go? Where's Joey? Joey, where are you at in our Bible college? Where's Joey at? Is he here tonight? Is he working? Stand up. Joey lived in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Got on the podcast. Now, I've known Joey since he was a little bit younger than he is now. But got on the podcast, listened to one of those messages that we preached on a big day, realized that he wasn't saved, bowed his heart, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, called me up, we talked, he received Christ as a Savior, and now he's here in Bible college, working on a bus route, getting schooling to be able to go out and fulfill the will of God for his life. Well, somebody had to pay for that podcast. See, I'm saying, here's what you're doing. Every time that you take and give, you're laying up treasures in heaven. Every time you do that. We had over, I'll not have you stand again, but we had over 60 people that stood one night when I said, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, since I've had the privilege to come here as pastor, would you please stand? Now, you know, there was church members supposedly church members that had made a profession of faith. And, of course, you don't become a church member until you're baptized into the body. But now you understand this. But they stood. Now, wait a minute. These are those that are working in bus routes. These are those that, and by the way, many, many people say from the outside, people that's here tonight, that somebody gave you the gospel, you bowed your heart, you received Christ as Savior, and you're here tonight, and I'm saying that if you just look around, it is worth doing what we're doing. It is worth it. You say, but preacher, I tell you what, the house ought to be filled tonight. There will be a day when the house is filled. There will be a day when the house runs over. There will be a day when you'll come in on a Sunday night and you'll be looking for a seat. But I'm saying right now, as we continue to grow, thank God for somebody that's given the tithe. Thank God for somebody that's given the offering. And God has a place for you to give it. Where? It's through the local church. Statement number one, I said this, we should pattern our giving, seek ye first. We should be able to place our giving, place it, if you will, please, in the hands of those that are getting the job done. Statement number three, we should perform the giving. Now, here's what it says. It says to lay up. There's a performance there, lay up. When he says not to lay up, there's a performance there. He talks about your treasures upon the earth, not laying them up there. He talks about laying up your treasures in heaven. There is. You're sending, if you would please, you're establishing a bank account. You're sending ahead. You're sending ahead. I don't know how many of you are involved in some type of retirement program or some type of investment program, but I promise you, you're not going to get back like you get back when some little boy gets saved, some little girl gets saved. You're not going to get the entrance back simply because this is eternal and that is temporal. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, now let's stop there for just a moment. Where your treasure is, there will your heart, it says, be also. So where your treasure is, where you're giving your energy, where, come on now. I worry about people that just come when they want to come and they're not dedicated to the cause of Christ. I worry about it because that is a revealing factor of their character and their love for God. When you look around and you don't see them and they miss a service and then you call them up and they say, well, you know, something came up. Well, isn't it amazing? For some people, something always comes up. But being dedicated, I said, and I'm not trying to boast on what I do, but just to praise the Lord, I think I've missed 3 church services in my entire life. That's it. Now, I was sick, but 3. Now, I'm 52, and as I get older, I might miss more. And certainly when you get sick and you get older, you might have to miss more. You just can't come and go. But as long as you're physically able, I tell you what, if I can boast on them just a little bit, the Williams amaze me. The Davises amaze me. Now, I'm not trying to, these are older people. Can I use the word elderly? These are I'm walking over this way when I use the word elderly. These are elderly people. But it doesn't matter if it's sun shining outside, or it doesn't matter if it's raining outside. It doesn't matter if it's overcast. They're here. They come on a Saturday. They go out. They're making visits. They're following people up. They're loving people. They're helping people. Now, may I say, if the elderly can do it, then those of you that are not quite there yet can do it. If those that have aches and pains far beyond your belief. Brother Nosa was sick yesterday. Brother Edipaya, he's on my men's soul winning team. And boy, don't you still thank God he's saved. 27 plus years praying for him, he got saved. Faithful. I waited for him yesterday and he didn't show up, and that was highly unusual. And we took off, and he showed up a little bit after we left, and he said, "Pastor, I talked to him this morning in my Sunday school class. I said, sure did miss you yesterday." And he said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "I've been so sick." He said, "But I brought my sick body, and I got here as quick as I could." And he said, and you guys had already left. He said, "But I want you to know I went out all by myself. I knocked doors as long as I could. Then I went home." He stayed for a little while. Brother Smell was teaching our Sunday school class this morning. He stayed for a little while, and I think the teaching got to him, and he left. But he waved at me and went out the door, and he said, "I got to go. He's sick. He's sick." Not sick of Brother Smell. Brother Smell did not sing. But he said, "I'm sick, and I got to go." And so he left out, and he went. Now, may I say, there's something about that. There's just something about that. There's something about when you come to church when your feelings got hurt, and there's something about coming to church when you don't feel good physically. There's something about coming to church when things are not doing well. I watched Heather this morning, and as Mrs. Oswaldo, she was standing back here, and we lacked soul winners this morning. We had a huge, if you were here this morning, just a good outpouring of God this morning, and boy, adults standing up here raising their hand, they wanted to get saved, and adults over here, we had just a whole group of people coming forward, and I'm looking out, and I'm thinking, where in the world is all my soul winners? Then I found out that, you know, we had 15 or 20 people or so being dealt with up front, and I was just running out of soul winners, and so I looked over at Mrs. Oswaldo, and I said, "I need help," and boy, she came forward. I didn't know she could do it. She has trouble with her vision, and if you'll see her sometime going down the hallway, she can't see. She doesn't have the peripheral vision, and so she can only see what is in front of her, and that's it. And so many times going down the hallway, if she bumps into you, you got to excuse her, but she'll use those handrails, and she'll ride those handrails going down the hallway. And I thought, I don't know if she'll be able to see that Bible, and boy, she led that lady to Christ. Woo! Hey, come on. By the way, a lady like that could use her excuse as much as she wanted to, but she didn't. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying it is so important that we perform what is before us. God has given you the ability. And boy, don't we have a good church there, Brother Smale? I mean, we got a good church. And boy, everybody's pitching in, and I love it. I love it. We don't have to call you and beg you, but all of a sudden we'll say, you know, we got to decorate for this conference, or hey, we need help, and we'll have sign-ups, or we'll just announce it. And we'll say, show up at this time. And I remember Mrs. Wells, and she's a little bit concerned. She said, "Oh, honey, I need ladies to come and help to put together flowers and stuff for the ladies' conference, and I don't know what to do." I said, "Let's just announce it." And we did, and 31 ladies and young ladies showed up and went in the soul winning room and worked together and fellowshipped and had a good time and just enjoying each other's company and putting together flowers, and they didn't really look all that bad either. Us men couldn't have did that. But I'm saying just dive in. When there's times to be able to use your abilities, then you perform it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Find something you can put your hands to and be faithful. Brother Bontegal, how long have you been a member here, Brother Bontegal? 3 years, 2 years, 2 years now. You know, those kids, they love him. Not because he's Brother Bontegal, but because he's the candy man. And he'll stand out there, and those little bitty kids will come up to him, and they'll just kind of stand there and look at him like, you know, I'm here, and smile, and he'll give them a little bit of candy and pat him on the back. All right, now wait a minute. That's just loving people. That's all that is. A little bitty boy comes up, and he's got a tie on, and, you know, and you brag on him a little. That's just loving people. If we could understand that we are a church family, There is no outsiders here. This is it. This is it. If you look around tonight and you say, well, I see so-and-so and I've not spoken to them in a long time. Well, first off, shame on you. And second off, you ought to go up to them and talk. Are you listening to me? Get to know people. I say to our church family, we laugh together, we cry together, we go through distressing times together, we'll grow together, we'll go through times of distress together, but understand, we're a family. We're a family. When all of a sudden one of your children begins to go wayward, hey, what about getting some of these adults and saying, I've got a burden for my son, and I've got a burden for my daughter, and let's get at the altar, and let's pray. But you're not going to get that if you distance yourself. You know, sometimes you got to stay around and shake hands. Hello. Now I'm going to meddling. But sometimes you got to stay around and shake hands. Don't get up and leave and say, well, I tell you what, nobody knows me. Nobody can find you. Well, nobody is reaching out to me. That's because they cannot catch you. As soon as church is over, they look around and say, I wanted to shake his hand, but he's gone. Zap. Vanish. Kapoof. Gone. Well, stand around. See if somebody will come up and shake your hand. Then if nobody will come up and shake your hand, lean yourself against the wall, just put it out that way. And if nothing else, some 4 or 5-year-old little kid's going to come up and give you a high five. Then he's going to look at you and ask for candy. But I'm saying tonight there has to be that investment. There has to be. I feel sorry for folk. I do. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for people in church that feels as though as soon as church is over, I've got to leave because I've got important things to do. There's nothing more important than fellowshipping with the people of God. Nothing more important. Because one day you're going to need a friend and you're going to feel all alone. But because you shot out of here, nobody got to know you. You know, we got members in our church that don't know other... We got members sitting over here, I promise you, that don't know the members that's sitting way over there. We got members sitting up front here that have no idea about members that's sitting in the balcony. No idea. Say, preacher, why do you have some of those fellowships? So you trip over each other. You have to stand in line with somebody you didn't know. Hello? Why do you have activities? Because it's good for us to brush shoulders with each other. Come on. Every man ought to know other men in our church to the point and to the degree where you can feel at ease carrying on a general conversation with them. You know, and if you don't know anybody then go up and talk to them. Ask them their name. I've seen you around here. Who are you? It's so funny. Brother Volkley's done that. Brother Volkley preaches over in the Spanish department. It's so funny. Because we have new members, and we have several new members that's in the church and whatnot. And so I remember one Sunday morning, he came over, or maybe it was a Sunday night, I don't know, I had him stand in my stead, and he probably a Sunday night, and he was out there, and he was shaking hands, and he said, well, who are you? Person said, well, I've been a member here for 2 years. But he never sees them because he's in the Spanish department on Sunday morning. He has no idea who they are. Okay, now, what am I saying? I'm saying mill around. Mill around on a Sunday night, go up to somebody and say, hey, are you new here? I wouldn't do that because they'll say, I've been a member here for 3 years. But there's nothing wrong with being able to get to know each other. Now I'm saying this. Here's what he says. He says that there is that requirement that I put on my stewards, that they be found faithful. Listen to this. Here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. He says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So I guess it just depends on how you want to reap in accordance to how you sow. If we could just see God who God is, and we could see, you've heard the motto or the slogan, you heard it, and says you can't outgive God. Well, maybe some of us just need to put it to the test and see. Because I tell you, you cannot outgive him. Well, you know, God has laid this on my heart. I don't know how we're going to do it. But we'll find a way, and as we find a way, God will bless it. Many years ago, I was preaching, and we passed through Houston, and we went to Jack Woods' church, and Brother Woods was still alive. Jack Woods, rough fella, just a rough fella. Anybody ever met Brother Jack? You have. Rough fella. He's with the Lord now, but rough fella. And one time, of course, he's in downtown Houston, the bad part of town. And he had gangs that would come to his church and try to disrupt his church. You know, thank God our church is located where it's located. Amen. One night, there's about 14 fellas walked in. Gang. I mean, you could just tell. They're just you know, they're there to cause trouble. And so he always kept a pistol underneath his pulpit. I do too. No, I'm kidding. But he kept a pistol underneath his pulpit. These rough-looking guys came in. They sit in the back. And he said, now, boys, he said, we don't want any trouble. If there's any trouble, you've come to the right place because we'll give it to you. You can sit here, but you got to be good. Because if you're not good, you have come to the right place. We will give you trouble. He said, men, if you're carrying tonight, would you please stand? There's about 16, 17, 18. 190 men that stood that night, and they took their piece out and they held it up, and for some reason those fellas just felt led of the Lord to leave. Now, I think they should have stayed. They probably would have heard some good preaching, but they felt led of the Lord. I never will forget, went to a missions conference one time there, and these dear ladies, many of them would get under conviction about wrong dress, and so they'd take their pants and they would sew them into quilts. And then they'd take the quilts out and they would sell them. And when they would sell them, they'd bring the money in, they'd put it in the missions offering. Oh, isn't that neat? Well, I thought it was neat. But I remember us going to that one missions conference, and Brother Wood said, I've got a truck. He said, here's the title. And he threw the title inside the offering plate. Boy, you know, there's ladies, they took off diamond rings and put them in there, had a heart for missions. Now, may I say, the Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I said that we should pattern our giving, we should place our giving, we should perform our giving. Let me give you this. We should protect our giving. Here's what it says. And really, there's a choice. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, lay up for yourselves treasures. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. There will your heart be also. And so he says this. He says, simply understand that you can protect it where you put it. So he's talking about the investment. He's also talking about the investor. The investor. I've got friends that bought when all of a sudden, before the market changed, I had friends that bought property. And they bought property, and they thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy rentals. I'm going to buy rentals. And they thought, I'm going to buy rentals and I'm going to make good on this. And I had some friends that got, I'm not talking about thousands, I'm not talking about tens of thousands, I'm not talking about hundreds of thousands, but I had some friends that got millions of dollars in debt. And then they tried to rent those things out and it didn't work. Then they had to sell them for cheap. And went in deep, deep debt simply because of the fact that the market changed. Now, may I say, listen, you can't help it when a market changes. You can't help that. You can't help it if you have stock and all of a sudden something flips and the stock market goes down. You have no control of that. But God says there is a way to protect that which is your investment in heavenly things. And that is you lay it up in a place where there is no moth and there is no rust and there is no thievery. And you lay that up in such a place where nobody can break through and get it. And God says, so by doing it. Now, okay, all right, watch this. You stand. You'll be my illustration tonight. And Brother Palmer, you help. And so, Brother Palmer, you got a billfold? Okay, take it out. And you got any money in it? You don't have any money. Oh, you got a dollar. Looky there. Thank you very much. And okay. And so he takes that dollar. And he takes that dollar and he gives that. Let's say this is the Lord. Well, he takes that dollar and he gives that to the Lord in the Lord's work. Now, wait a minute. First off, God can multiply that. Can he not? We do research on tracks and we find the best deals that we can get. And so God is giving us wisdom to be able to do that. And so God will multiply that. Then all of a sudden, a little boy gets saved. A little girl gets saved. Angels in heaven, in the presence of the angels in heaven, there's rejoicing. Somebody got saved. All of a sudden, somebody gets baptized. And God the Father looks down as he did with his own boy and says, boy, that's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, boy, that well pleases me when somebody obeys me. All right, and so I think a soul winning church will find out that they get in less trouble financially than a church that's drying up, because God wants that church to keep going. God takes personal interest in that church and say, well, they're out there and they're giving out tracts and they're going soul winning and they're helping and they're encouraging and they're teaching people to do what is right. And so when you lay up treasures in heaven, now nobody's going to break through heaven and steal it. That's pretty much a duh. How many of you been to heaven lately? Raise your hand. Okay, one on the front row. Thank you, Levi. Anybody else been to heaven recently? Besides Levi, anybody else been to heaven recently? We like to talk to you after church. We like to find out what you saw. And all right? And so here's what happens. When you lay up treasures in heaven, then what takes place is nobody's going to steal it. But can you imagine as it's put into the right cause? The right cause. Where one more bus goes out, where one more track goes out, where one more missionary is supported. Can you imagine that? Now I'm saying tonight, thank you, be seated. Give him back his dollar, it's all he has. God protects the investment, and God protects the investor. Let me read it to you and I'm done. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Nor yet, it says, for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither, it says, do they reap. It says, nor, it says, watch what it says, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? He says, I take care of them. Can I take care of you? It says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Watch what he says. He says, and why take ye thought for your raiment? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, he watch it, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? God is saying that if we'll just put him first, we have no reason to worry. But we just, wouldn't it be so great if we were so liquid with God? So liquid. God, if you want me, I'm yours. God, if you want what I have, it's yours. God, it's all yours. I don't have a vote. I don't have a horse in the race. I mean, it's all yours. It's all yours. It's all yours. And so God, whatever you want, here it is. Here it is. I don't care. It's all yours. And then God says, well, I want this. Okay, God, no questions asked. Here it is. Okay, God, that's what you want. That's it. Okay, here it is. And God says, boy, I tell you what, Mike, you're so obedient. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to withhold you anything for which you ask. I'm not going to do it because you've been so obedient. I'm not going to do it. I won't withhold anything from that which you ask. And by the way, that's a good God. And God wants to be that way. May he be that way in our lives. Father, please help us.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.